الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أملك عليك لسانك وليسعك بيتك وابكي على خطيئتك أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected mothers and sisters, it's always very, very important to first refresh the intention, the niyat. You have taken the time and left whatever there might have been, sometimes some important work that needed to be attended to. There might have been whatever else that might have been programmed initially in the way, but that had been put aside to attend this little muzakara. So what is the intention for it? So each one of us, it's very important that we refresh our intention. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, for verily a reminder benefits the believers, very beneficial for a mu'min. So this is the intention, that the speaker is most in need of what he's going to be speaking, so this is a reminder to himself. And we are to also have the same intention, that we need the reminders all the time, all of us. This is an ongoing need, and to remind ourselves about our purpose in life, our destination, our goal, our objective, where we are heading to, what efforts have we made thus far to get safely to our goal and destination, to reach Allah Ta'ala, and the shortcomings that have happened, what efforts we've made to get forgiveness for that, make amends for it. There's an ongoing need. When a person keeps reminding himself, reminding others, we hear reminders, we remind others also, then this starts bringing some consciousness in the heart. That is the purpose. That become conscious of Allah Ta'ala, we become connected to Allah Ta'ala, and we start making positive changes in our life. It's not just about hearing something or speaking something, it's about making positive changes in our life. That is the purpose. And the need for the positive change is that this is the vehicle, the correct a'mal, refraining from what Allah is displeased with, this manner of conducting our lives, this is the vehicle which, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, will enable us to reach Allah Ta'ala with afiyat, get to Jannat with afiyat, inshallah. In the Hadith Sharif, the dua, one of the du'as that are mentioned, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. Ya Allah, I seek from you your mahabbat, your love, because that is the driving force. When a person develops the love of Allah Ta'ala in their hearts, then that drives them towards everything that pleases Allah Ta'ala. So the first thing is to ask for Allah Ta'ala's mahabbat. And then وَحُبَّ مَن يُحِبُّكَ, the love of those who love you. Meaning that we, our hearts should be attached to those who are the true servants of Allah Ta'ala, in the sense that we take advice and guidance, we take inspiration from them in how to conduct our lives. We don't become impressed by those who are far away from Allah Ta'ala, regardless of how eloquent somebody might be, but the person's life is not in accordance to the extent that the apparent life is concerned, is not in accordance to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The lifestyle is emulating the way of the Yahud and Nasara. That's not going to take us closer to Allah Ta'ala. And likewise, the manner of living has to become closer to the commands of Allah Ta'ala all the time. So this is the purpose. And then the last thing mentioned in this dua, وَحُبَّ عَمَلِي يُبَلِّغُنِي حُبَّكِ. Ya Allah, give me the love of those a'mal that will take me to your muhabbat. So what Allah loves, those actions, by engaging in it, will inculcate Allah Ta'ala's love. Allah Ta'ala loves salah. Allah Ta'ala loves his kalam. tilawat of the Quran Sharif now a person will engage in. Allah Ta'ala loves his zikr be made. So now to engage in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala loves that a person makes khidmat sincerely for Allah Ta'ala. So now there might be some elderly person in our home, there might be some person in our neighborhood that requires that help, there might be some needy people, whoever. Person has that jazbah of khidmat in our own household, that jazbah of khidmat, that zeal to serve. Allah Ta'ala loves this. Now together with fulfilling the obligations of deen, person has the zeal to serve the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala. So now by doing all these things, Allah Ta'ala loves those who are charitable, they give sadaqah, they don't waste. Allah Ta'ala loves those who are appreciative of Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats, not those who waste Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats. Inna Allah la yuhibbul musrifeen. Allah Ta'ala does not love the musrifeen, those who waste Allah's ni'mats, those who preserve it and use it correctly. So now these are all just some examples out of the many, many things that Allah Ta'ala loves. So the more we engage consciously that this is what my Allah loves, I'm still empty, but my Allah loves this action. So I'm going to now, inshallah, push myself forward and I'm going to dedicate some time daily to do this particular action more. This nafil salah, farz obviously goes without saying, the sunnahs. But now I'm going to make, for example, ishraq every day. Or I'm going to try to make at least qiyamul layl. If I'm not making it for tahajjud, then at least before sleeping, I'm going to make 2 rakats nafil qiyamul layl. So all these things are just examples of so many other things that are possible to do. Some opportunities are always there. The purpose is that I'm still empty. But Allah loves this. And by me fulfilling what Allah loves and doing what Allah Ta'ala loves, inshallah this will inculcate in my heart the love of Allah Ta'ala. And this will bring me closer to my Allah. So in any case, this is the intention, this is the purpose that we have gathered to speak something, to listen to something that will remind us of Allah Ta'ala, that will bring us, make us more conscious of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give me also the tawfiq, give all of us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala make this a means of His love settling in our hearts and us becoming attached to Allah Ta'ala. In one hadith sharif, Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala an, he once asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man najat, what is the means of gaining safety, salvation, from what? From the fitnas that abound, from the difficulties that come, from the distractions that come about, from things that take a person in a direction away from deen, all the things that become obstacles and barriers in a person's safe journey to akhirat. So now all these things come about, these fitnas suddenly come around. So what is the means of safety from this? Now there's a very well-known hadith sharif, often quoted, discussed often, and indeed, it is such a fundamental lesson and such an important aspect that we should be, as we mentioned right at the beginning, that this is all about a reminder. This is such a reminder that we should be reminding ourselves about it daily. Because after all, this is such an important question that was asked. Such a fundamental aspect. And something that everybody is in need of all the time. That I need to be safe. Security is the biggest concern, among the biggest concerns of the time. Whether in South Africa, then all the more. Otherwise, anywhere in the world for that matter. But generally, people are more concerned only about the security of life, which is obviously important, and material things. But the security of iman, the security of a'mal, the security of akhlaq. Akhlaq, we understand it very, very, in a limited sense. Akhlaq, certain aspects of akhlaq which are termed as etiquette, which is important, very important. We meet somebody correctly, nicely, welcome someone, be grateful to somebody that does some favor for us, say jazakallah, make salam properly, day-to-day etiquettes. So obviously, deen has taught us all these adab, but akhlaq is not confined to that. Akhlaq is a very, very broad concept. So now, developing this akhlaq, and among that is, for example, aspect of haya is a very fundamental part of akhlaq. So now, preserving that haya, increasing that haya. Now, these are all things that we need to obviously work on, inculcate. So now, this question that was asked was about how to be safe. Often these things are not in people's minds, that I could look after this too. This is also something that's very important to preserve, to the safety and security of amal, of haya, of the Mubarak way of life that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left behind as a legacy. To look after that, the security of that in our own homes, in our lives. So often the aspect of security is limited to life, wealth, and that too we will look after obviously. But more important than all that is the security of iman, security of amal, and that is what we are being presented here, that this will take care of everything. It's not only deen, even one's dunya, inshallah, this will be a very great means of securing one's dunya as well. So outwardly, sometimes it seems like a very simple statement, but that was the mu'jiza of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That in very few words, there would be oceans of knowledge and guidance and direction and an entire prescription and everything. This was the kamal and this was the mu'jiza and the miracle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the muhaddithin, they have gathered these books written on the Jawami'ul Kalim. Those ahadith that are especially regarded as these ahadith which the ocean has been filled, not in a teacup, in a teaspoon maybe. That in such few words, such vast oceans of knowledge, muhaddithin have now extracted, fuqaha have extracted masail upon masail from it. So in any case, this was the question Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala asked, that what is the way to remain safe? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three things. Now these three things, as mentioned, none of these things are things that we have not heard before. We have heard all these things before, but this is the reminder for myself first and foremost, and for all of us, that we have to keep reminding ourselves about this all the time, daily. We will be far away from the ideal, but it doesn't mean if we are far away from the ideal, we don't try. It appears to us that I don't think I'm going to ever make it according to what is the requirement here. So if a person thinks that he will never be able to earn a billion, so he wasn't even try to earn 1,000. Nobody thinks like that. He can't earn a billion. Sometimes he thinks, I don't think I'll ever even earn a million. But he's trying to earn his 1,000 still. That 1,000 someday becomes 10, becomes 100, someday becomes million also. Allah Ta'ala wills. When Allah wills, it happens without even a person realizing how it happened, and in a moment it can happen. But the point is, if the person can't seem to earn a million, he doesn't say, well, earn nothing then. Leave everything. So it may appear to us, and why it appears to us like that, it's because shaitan tries to keep us sitting where we are, so that we don't even try to make any effort, by putting this deception over us. Look, you're not going to make it for this. So if you're not going to make it, don't try. But Allah Ta'ala loves that effort, sincere effort. When a person makes that sincere effort solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala puts barakat in it. And when Allah Ta'ala puts barakat in something, then miracles happen. And then what seemed impossible, the impossible becomes possible. Forget becomes possible, then it becomes reality. Which a person, many, many people have probably, we might have all said something about whatever it might have been in these words, I never thought this was possible. Something or the other, we might have said it for about whatever it might have been. People speaking about their Fajr Salah. For years they never managed to wake up. What a major disaster that was in their lives, that the Fajr Salah was becoming Qaza. What a tremendous loss and what a disaster that the person wakes up in the morning and Allah Ta'ala's first obligation on a mu'min and to wake up and remember Allah Ta'ala, put down one's head on the floor and on the ground and be expressing our gratitude to Allah Ta'ala. There's another day of life Allah has woken us up for and given us another opportunity to come closer to Him, to make tawbah, to make amends in our life. And all the countless bounties of Allah Ta'ala again are still with us. But the person starts off the day with forgetting Allah Ta'ala. Starts off the day without any remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. By neglecting and omitting the first farz of the day, the first farz that Allah Ta'ala has placed, the Fajr Salah, what a disaster. That is the problem, that to recognize a disaster as a disaster. If a child, one person was trying to train his child, so he gave him some coins. Now, whatever coins it might have been, but for our example, let's just take it for example. I don't think there were Kruger coins in that zamana, but he gave him some Kruger coins. And he told him, go and throw it in the well. The father said, must go throw it in the well. He went and threw it in the well. Then, as he grew up a little bit, one day the father made him work. So you see this whole patch of the garden. You now do this, you weed it, and dig this, whatever, plant these seeds and whatever else. And after all this is done, now he grew up a bit, now he knows what's money all about. So when you do this, then I'll give you so much. So now he gave him one small fraction of that amount he gave him initially as payment for this work. But now he was digging and whatever hard work went into that piece of land. Now afterwards the father gave him that coins as payment. After he gave it to him, he said, go throw it in the well. He said, throw it in the well? How can I throw it in the well? Now he earned it, he worked hard for it, and he's grown up a bit, his understanding has opened out. So now he doesn't realize the disaster he caused last time. That Kruger ran even and threw it in the well. Now these few coins he wants to look after it. Why? Because the correct understanding has come, and he knows now what goes behind earning these few coins. He thought now the father, it fell from the sky for him, so he threw it in the well. But now when he had to work for it, and he got some understanding, now if he's told, last time you went and threw it in the well, Kruger ran you threw it, he'll be wondering, how could I have done such a thing? But when he didn't know it was a disaster, it meant nothing to him. Because if somebody told him also, it didn't occur to him. Allah forbid, when that darkness settles in the heart, the disaster of having missed Salah doesn't seem like a disaster. The disaster of having made ghibat doesn't seem like a disaster. The disaster of having harmed somebody in some way means nothing. So many disasters keep on happening in our life the whole day. So many things we do which are utter disasters. If the reality of that had to open out, then what will be the consequence of this in the qabr? What will be the consequence of this on the day of qiyamah in akhirat? Then a person will be shocked. What am I doing? But till we don't realize it, we carry on like nothing happened. Because that realization is not there, that imani fervor is not there, that inner sight is not there to see the reality. So in any case, coming back to where we were, that this question Abu bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him three things. And these three things are very, very simple in their words. And that's where sometimes we get deceived, because some things that sound very easy, very simple, then it gets taken for granted that this is one of those aspects now, it's fine. We want to hear something very, very complicated, something in very big words, something that we might have to even ask somebody else, what's the meaning of this word? Then it might be something now we have to pay attention to. Whereas this is the beauty of our deen, that major lessons have been given to us in simple words, so that we just have to attach ourselves to it. Just take it to heart. Just make an effort to bring it into our lives. This is how easy our deen is. So in any case, the three advices that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him, number one, amlik alayka lisanak. Control your tongue. Control our tongue. So now, everyone feels that they control their tongue. Some people will say that sometimes I just say one, two things. That's all. Maximum that there will be any acknowledgement. Sometimes I say one, two things. So now, in other words, that's part of the discount now. Everything, there's some amount to discount it. So it doesn't matter. I'm still fine because it's part of the discounted amount. But if we really have to ponder over the things that we have said over the day, and what impact it may have had sometimes on us, sometimes on others, how many things will it stand in our favor on the day of Qiyamah, in the court of Allah Ta'ala, or it will be counted against us? If we really had to analyze things carefully, Allah forbid, we'll find so many things on the wrong side of the, on the opposite side, on the negative side, on the side that's going to become problematic for us. Many a times it's just some loose statement, some careless comment, some words which we're not given any thought and just blurted out. But the impact of that sometimes has broken somebody's heart unduly. One is now you're giving somebody correct advice, and which was the proper manner, and yet the person felt offended. Now that is that person's problem now. But unduly broke somebody's heart, made some humiliating remark, made some comment that really crushed somebody's spirit. But people sometimes may not even express anything, may not say anything. And sometimes the very, very sad part of it is, sometimes, and this is a bit difficult to even express it in this way, children, when they, meaning young people, sometimes are down, feeling very, very down, lost all their courage. When you get to the bottom of it, but why, what's going on, why are you, then sometimes it comes out that what kind of comment somebody's own mother had made about him, father had made, some senior in the family had made, and not that what he was doing was right, what he was doing was wrong, but at that particular time, he had decided to make some turnaround, so was trying. And now when things are now turning around, it just doesn't just flip overnight and come 100%. So now there was a slow turnaround, but there was a turnaround already. But now there was some little bit of a mistake again. So the comments came in such a crushing manner, and it broke his spirit in such a way that now nobody realized what happened within him. But he like almost became despondent of life. Now Shaitan is getting the better of him and putting all kinds of waswasa in his head that now, na'uzubillah, you rather just end it. Now sometimes parents also don't realize that how they are going about saying something, what they are doing. It's a very challenging situation out there, undoubtedly. And it sometimes can become really very, very difficult. But with all these challenges, the very important thing is that what advice is given, what is spoken, that we still have to be careful about. And we still have to start off with right at the beginning of the whole process, that this what I am saying, what is my intention for saying it? I'm saying it to my own child, it's fine, understood. I'm not saying it to some outsider. I'm saying it to my own child, but why? Allah forbid, very often, if I have to really analyze why, that why will be, if I'm honest with myself, is I want to vent my anger, that's all. I'm upset, so I need to vent it. But that why, if the answer to that why was that he needs to learn what is right and wrong, he needs to correct it, so he now spoken to him so many times and encouraged him, now he needs a reprimand as well, then that why is valid, that the answer is valid. But very often we won't find that answer if we're honest to ourselves. Many times it will be there and many times not there. Now if that starting point is not in order, then how the rest of it is going to go in the right direction? Then we're going to say things that are not in order. We're going to do things that are not in order. Now this is only just the first prescription. We probably, normally they say scratch the surface. We are incapable of even scratching the surface, of understanding the depth of this. We are probably just trying to understand a reflection. Forget scratching the surface. That too is a very deep process. Now, just in a household, if everybody understands what it means to control the tongue doesn't mean to keep quiet. Controlling the tongue doesn't mean keeping quiet. Because sometimes keeping quiet is wrong. Now, for example, everybody comes home and everybody, assalamu alaikum, and then everybody will tasbih non-stop, all quiet, mashallah. And then they all eating, but they muraqabah. And then after they all gone to bed, all quiet, mashallah. And say, what a wonderful quiet house. That's a disaster. Being quiet there is not right. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, he once came and spent the night at the house of his aunt, Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. Now he was a young boy at that time. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he was about 13 years old, so he must have been even 12, 11, 10, whatever this incident really happened. But this was his zeal. This was how enthusiastic he was. He wanted to come and see how the ibadat of the night is. So in any case, he came and he spent the night. So the lengthy riwayat, but one of the things that is mentioned there, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and then after having performed some salah, then he sat down and he spoke to her for a while, and then he slept, and then he woke up for ibadat at the night. Now there was a balance in everything. So the point is, what this just was, some point came on out of this, what we mentioned, that controlling the tongue doesn't mean keeping quiet. Controlling the tongue means saying what is right. Controlling the tongue means not saying what is hurtful, what is causing, going to cause problems, what is going to be breaking hearts, and obviously what Allah is displeased with in terms of speaking any lie, ghibat, all these things are major sins. So controlling the tongue is to stay away from, hold the tongue back from anything that Allah Ta'ala is displeased with. And to speak, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. To speak that which is good, which is best. To speak that which is going to earn Allah's pleasure. And what will earn Allah Ta'ala's pleasure? Everything that is done in the manner that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has done with that intention, that will earn Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. To the extent that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at times, this is the salt in the food, at times used to have some light-hearted words with the Sahaba. With the Azwaja Mutahharat, he would come and he would discuss some very general things sometimes. In the riwayat, some of these things are mentioned. So, but all this was finally, eventually, leading to some dini lesson. But all this now, the person having some light-hearted moments with family, with others around, to refresh the mind, make people happy around for a while, with this intention that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes engaged in this as well, that too has become an ibadat. But obviously within the limits of deen. So in any case, this is the first lesson that was given in there, Amlik alayka lisanak. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala on one occasion, somebody saw him, he's tugging his tongue. He is tugging his own tongue. Now we're talking about who? We are talking about that personality regarding whom it is stated in the Hadith Sharif that the sun has not risen on anyone greater than Abu Bakr, meaning after the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam. After the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, the greatest personality to set foot on earth is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. And his virtues and his excellence is mentioned in so many ahadith. Now he is sitting and tugging his tongue. Why? And then he's talking to himself. He is chastising himself. Inna hada qad awradani al mawarid. This is what has put me into trouble many times. Now what trouble he is talking about, we will say, if we had to know what he was referring to, we'll see, if this is called trouble, then I don't mind having this trouble all the time. That too must have been something very on a high level, but he regarded it as lower than what he should have been doing. There's a statement which is commonly expressed on these occasions, Hasanatul Abrar, Sayyatul Muqarrabin, that the good deeds, some good actions, what are regarded and what are deemed as to be good actions of the general average pious person, some of those good actions are regarded as faults when it comes to the muqarrabin, the very close servants of Allah Ta'ala. That is below their standard. is not in keeping with their very high standard. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, something might have come to a step back from his very high standard. Now he is chastising himself on that. Inna hadha qad awradani al-mawarid. Now the question for myself and for all of us, how many times did I think that this I spoke, why did I speak this? This was wrong. I shouldn't have said it in this manner. Okay, what I said was right, but how I said it? Was this a correct way to say it? If I didn't say it like this, what harm would it have done? But what good it would have brought? How often have we sat back to reflect on something like this? Now that question, like, but is this also something to be done? So if it was not something to be done, then why was a personality like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, the first of the Ashara Mubashara, of the 10 Sahaba who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the glad tidings of Jannah, why would he be sitting and doing this? What was the need for it? So because we don't seem to have the need for it, therefore we don't correct ourselves, we don't get to any correction, we don't make any improvement, we just go in the same circle, and life carries on, and we say everything will be fine. But then we're making so many, causing so many blunders in the process, there's so many difficulties that come upon ourselves as a result, there's so much of difficulty sometimes others have to experience as a result of it. We started off from where? The lack of concern about how we use our tongue. And then we just discussed the one point on this is that the intention also counts, because the tongue moves and it moves, it can move non-stop. But what moves the tongue? What moves the tongue is the heart. The heart moves the tongue. That is why sometimes a person is depressed, he keeps quiet because the heart is now down. The heart is in a turmoil. So now there's no movement on the tongue too because of the heart. Now what is in the heart? Because the heart moves the tongue. So what is in the heart will come on the tongue. Now if there's dirt in the heart, then the dirt will come in the tongue. If there's dirt in the heart for somebody, for example, then the dirt will come on the tongue in the form of ghibat, in the form of some buhtan, in the form of making some negative comment about somebody, bringing the person down. If there's jealousy, the dirt of jealousy in the heart for somebody, that will come out on the tongue in some way, in all these ways that were just expressed. So now the heart is what moves the tongue. So now that concern that I have to make my heart right, because my heart comes right, my tongue will come right also. My entire self will come right. So now this is the concern about correcting ourselves, making the effort to bring the heart alive with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, with the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, the consciousness of Qiyamah. I have to answer for what I'm going to say on the day of Qiyamah. All these things have to be in front of me. But now there's an effort. It doesn't happen overnight, but it has to start somewhere. So now starting somewhere, this is now to reflect. Daily some time to reflect. If you don't get any other time, when generally a person is trying to fall asleep, they don't know what to think about. So they're thinking about things that are not allowing the sleep to come. Then they're complaining that I can't fall asleep. But if we engage ourselves at that time in connecting to Allah Ta'ala, then inshallah we'll find the sleep coming quicker also. Some say the reason for that is, Allahu alam, that shaitan then comes and says, quickly put this person off to sleep, so he stops thinking about this good. Whatever the issue might be, the point is that this is a moment and an opportunity to little bit reflect. Now this is today how I spent my day. Some muhasaba now. Muraqaba, muhasaba. What did I do? But why did I do this? Why did I say that? It'll create some consciousness. Inshallah, 1 day, 2 days, 10 days, 20 days is happening every day consistently. By the 21st day too, now the next day there'll be more consciousness. Person will become more alert compared to the other 20 days. Now there'll be something coming to the tip of the tongue and he'll hold it back. Because now some consciousness has come. Some breaks are now getting developed. And prior to that, after having said it, if perchance something comes to mind, then it'll come to mind that, but maybe this was not the right thing to say. Otherwise, that too is gone. So now there's some time for reflection, some time to think about it, just to reflect. So in any case, the first lesson was Amlik alayka lisanak. The second lesson Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him, wal yasa'ka baytuk. Let your home be sufficient for you. The home is the sanctuary, is meant to be the sanctuary. It's meant to be a safety, place of safety, because the whole question was about staying safe. How to stay safe? So how to stay safe? Stay safe by being in the place of safety. Now insan has his needs, and some of those needs will require leaving the home, but the place of safety is the home. So without need to just be now all the time wanting to be floating out somewhere, that is not in keeping with the spirit of this Hadith Sharif at all. So one is that whatever Shariat has made permissible for a person to leave, and how to be then emerging for that need, what is the means, what are the guidelines, what are the rules, how things have to be done, then adhering to that. So that is in order, that's in place. But what is the problem? The problem is that unfortunately, the way of life of the Yahud and Nasara has influenced things across the board, and in ways sometimes that we don't even realize where we've gone to. Now one, just to illustrate this, one simple example, and which is unfortunately becoming a very common problem nowadays, very common problem. In almost, Allah knows best, every maktab, every his class, illa mashallah, there might be some or many rather that may not have the problem, but every time you meet some ustad teaching in a maktab, somebody teaching in a his class, somebody, and this is an ongoing issue. What is the issue? He says, no, now this youngster is coming to maktab, now he comes with a two-length haircut. So then, so I'll explain to him. He says, no, that probably not the youngster now. It's easy to explain to him. To explain the parents now. That child, he'll understand now. If you tell him, then maybe a little bit of encouragement and so on. Even if it's doing it out of just now, because he's been instructed, he'll do it. But the problem is the parents now. They're coming to fight with the ustad. That what right do you have to tell my child to change his manner, his style of hair and so on. So now, what the question is, the point of reflection and what we are talking about, how the ways of Yahud and Nasara have just come and taken over our lives, that now this has become like such a major thing in a person's life, that child has got this abnormal hairstyle, which is abnormal, because the hair doesn't grow. If supposing somebody's hair actually grew like that, from one part of the head is growing fully, the other part is growing, he's going to go to a doctor already. He's going to start spending money to get it sorted out. That this is, something is not right here. What's going on? So now it grows evenly. So now it's growing evenly, but there's some unevenness has come within, under the scalp somewhere. So now they want to make the hair uneven. Something is long, something is short. And such intensity that the parent is sometimes ready to come and quarrel with the ustad, sending sometimes messages which are disrespectful to the ustad. But now the question about for each one to ask, that where did this stem from? Meaning this kind of manner of keeping one's hair, did it come from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'udhu billah? Definitely not. The sahaba? No. The tabi'een? Not from them. The muhaddithin? No. The fuqaha? The pious predecessors in every era. We come to our own times, the average general pious person, see somebody, mashallah, is a regular musalli, this person, mashallah, whoever, anybody, so where it came from then? It came from Jack and Peter, or whoever else, Yahud. And now for that we're fighting so much? That has become so necessary? For something abnormal? Why? It's not a matter of, it's what has impacted on our hearts and minds so much, it's taken over. It must be like this. Why? Because Jack and Peter got it like this. Because that's where it's come from. So now, this whole influence, from where to where it takes a person, the things which, and the opposite of it, or rather the prohibition about it, has its basis in Hadith Sharif. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade this, that a person, maybe in the times of Jahiliyyah something like this happened. People, out of grief and so on, they would shave their heads off, but sometimes they would shave part of it and leave part of it or whatever. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade that. So there's a second Jahiliyyah now. So now the point is, we got diverted from where we were. In any case, I even forgot the track of thought where we were discussing, but coming back to the second lesson, وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ, let the home be a place of sanctuary. Why? To stay away from fitna, because that's the sanctuary. So out of need, you have to go somewhere where it was permissible to go for some permissible requirement in the permissible manner. Understood? Very good. But when that has been done, be in the sanctuary of your home. But now imagine, if a person leaves the sanctuary of the home and goes to places of fitna. The whole question was about safety, how to stay safe. Allah's Nabi is spelling out the prescription. You want to stay safe? This is how to stay safe. You stay within the sanctuary of your home, and if there's a need to leave, then this is how you go about it, where there is within the limits of Shariat. When a person leaves the home to go to a place where they are going to be exposed to fitna. Now, for example, what? So in our time and age, one of the biggest fitnas that have come about is this fitna of this paddle issue. Now, people leave their homes to go to the venues of fitna. So what's going to be the outcome? Will anybody's haya be safe? Will their iman be safe? What will be safe? And this is the lesson on this side, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying to us, "Wal yasa'ka baytuk." So places where, let alone open fitna, but where it is, the doubt is there that this is going to become a problem for me. It's going to impact on my iman, my haya, whatever else. We have to be far away from that. So this is the second lesson that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala an. وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ. And the third lesson he gave him, the time has already run out, is وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيئَتِكَ. Very briefly, just to reflect on this, that we are all insan, we are very weak insan, and insan is insan, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam were the ma'soom servants of Allah Ta'ala, the pious, very, very pious servants of Allah Ta'ala, they are protected by Allah Ta'ala with that very special protection. But the rest of us, we are insan, we are weak, we falter, we make mistakes. But does it mean now we made a mistake, so fine, I'm insan? No, we have been given a prescription now that look, yes, we are insan, we make mistakes, but wabki ala khati'ati, cry over your sins. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving this prescription to a Sahabi. What can we understand of the maqam of Sahaba Ikram? And they are people who had received the endorsement from Allah Ta'ala, radiallahu anhum wa radu an. This was a lesson through the Sahabi for us, for the entire Ummat al-Qiyamah. That look, insan is insan, but are you crying over your sins? Now we spoke about, at the time of trying to sleep, then reflecting, if no other time of the day has been spent in this, at least that time. If our eyes can't cry, doesn't matter, let the heart cry. Let the heart cry, Ya Allah, what I did today. Your countless bounties on me. And despite that, I spoke these kind of things. My eyes weren't the way where it should be. I looked at things I shouldn't have looked at. How much of this priceless capital of time that you, which you have blessed me with, I just wasted it on social media, screen time has gone into 3 hours and 4 hours. Inna lillah. Today I spent 3 hours, 4 hours on social media. I didn't spend 5 minutes in tilawat. Inna lillah. Cry over it. Cry over it, let the heart cry over it. And just silently, in the depths of the heart, speak to Allah Ta'ala. And inshallah, if we keep up with this, The next day he will feel a little bit embarrassed. If not the next day, not the day after, not the 10th day, by the 11th day he will start feeling embarrassed over that screen time. He'll start feeling embarrassed over the lack of tilawat time. He'll be feeling embarrassed that I sat and spoke in conversations with whatever, whoever, for 2 hours, 3 hours, but I couldn't find time for 5 minutes to make Allah Ta'ala zikr, to recite some tasbihat. I spoke about Jack Jill and Allah knows who best, who not, but for 5 minutes I didn't read Durood Sharif on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, something will start coming in the heart. But we start off with this, وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَتِيَاتِكَ. Allah give us tawfiq daily, we make 2 rakats nafil, salatu tawbah, and then raise our hands and shed tears over our sins. That is subhanallah. What a wonderful thing to do. Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Ma'a Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he says that, he says that there were two personalities in particular, many others, but two people in particular who I had witnessed. He says, and this was not like an occasional thing, month of Ramadan has come now, therefore it's 15th of Shaban. This was a daily thing. That at the time of Tahajjud, they would cry so much in front of Allah Ta'ala, it was like as if somebody had beaten them. Like a child now getting beaten with a stick or something and the child is crying. But this was their connection with Allah Ta'ala. The rest of the day they, in front of people and with people, they were happy-go-lucky and smiling. But in that time in solitude between them and Allah Ta'ala, they had a time of the night to cry to Allah Ta'ala. Now crying out of the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, we have to cry over our sins, cry in repentance, but if nothing else, the 2 rakats nafil any time of the day, and some dua, istighfar, deep istighfar, 100 times, then making dua. Nothing else when trying to fall asleep. Let us not ever try to fall asleep looking at the phone. Keep that far away, keep it out of the room, or keep it way out of hand's reach. That's the last thing to do. One is now, okay, if there was something dini that was now being listened to, whatever, that's in his place, but talking about a person is on social media, on the phone, trying to fall asleep, person, and forget, scrolling here, there and everywhere. That is the last thing to do, because that might be the last action we might do in life. That might be the last action before that eyes closed, and Allah knows best whether that eyes will open the next morning, or whether that will be the last time that now the person did anything awake, but then went away from dunya. How many people pass away before they wake up the next morning? So this is what we need to now remind ourselves about. Keep turning to Allah Ta'ala, begging Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala, give me also the tawfiq, give all of us the tawfiq. The crux of it, controlling our tongue, staying away from all places of fitna. Don't go near it. That is the teaching, the manner in which deen has guided us. Wala taqrabu, so many ayat, don't go close to sins. This too is a matter of, don't go close to places of fitna. And whenever out of that genuine need also we have to leave our home, are we going where within limits of Shariat, then we are engaging ourselves in dhikr, in istighfar, keeping ourselves conscious of Allah Ta'ala. This is a very, very important and fundamental aspect. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka alshukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayk anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.